If I have to. Oh, here we are. Okay. So we are going to be reminded this morning of who we are in Christ, why Christians can still struggle after becoming believers, and the process of living in daily victory. And I wholeheartedly believe in all these things. So we're going to start at the beginning, the pivotal point of faith. We are sinners, period. When Mike became a Christian, he gave his life to Christ and became born again at age 25. He was explaining this to different lifelong friends that he had. And this one guy he was talking with, and he said, "Keith, I've given my life to Jesus. I have my sins forgiven." And Keith looked at him and said, "Come on, Wise. What have you ever done that's so bad?" And that's how a lot of the world looks at good people. I mean, I know a lot of really good people. They're like they're not believers, but they're like morally sound. But nonetheless, they're sinners. When my college roommate came, she was a psychology major, and one night she was like, "You know what I learned in class today?" She goes, "Do you know we're all born inherently good, and it's our environment that makes us bad?" And then we kind of left it there, and I was like, that night I'm laying in bed, I'm thinking, no, that's not right. We are born with a sin nature. So, our good works alone are never going to make us right before a holy God. When we think about the parable of Matthew 22 of the wedding feast, where the king has all these people, he invites these guests to the wedding feast, and he looks over his group at the reception, and there's one person sitting there just in their regular clothes. He had given that the tradition there in that time was when you had a wedding reception, you handed like a tunic garment to every single person that came in. And you chose, the host chose the garment, and they gave it to you, and you honored the guest by wearing it. And so any first century Jew, this would have made perfect sense that you look over the crowd like, what? You didn't put it on. It was a gift given to you. You didn't honor me by wearing it. Our good, even though maybe he was dressed in something very nice, it wasn't good enough. It wasn't right. Our goodness will never make us holy before a holy God. God provided a way to make us right. God's plan, God's way, God's covering. Like when Adam and Eve sinned, introduced sin into our world, they knew something was wrong. They knew they were off, and they tried to cover themselves. Didn't work. God comes in, and he has sacrificed an animal, shedding of blood. He covered them. And he sets the tone from the start that it's God that's going to cover our sin. God has to do it. They could not cover themselves. We can't cover ourselves. It's a work of God, and we have to accept it. So Jesus' sacrifice and his death, his blood, covers our sin. And when we take that step of faith and surrender our life to Christ, then we become born again, a new creation. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of every believer, and now we have access to a supernatural power from on high to do the work and what he's going to ask us to do. God has plans for us to be his witnesses throughout the earth. So, who am I? Who are you as a Christian, as a believer in Christ? I love this. Oh, maybe I turn it on. That helps. See, just there we go. Who are you?
If I asked you who you are, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
I'm a basketball coach.
And if that's stripped away?
Well, I'm also a history teacher.
Okay. We take that away. Who are you?
Well, I'm a husband. I'm a father.
And God forbid that should ever change. But if it does, Who are you?
I don't understand this game.
It's not a game, man. Who are you?
I'm a white American male.
Yeah, that's for sure. Is there anything else?
Well, I'm a Christian.
And what's that mean?
It means follower of Christ.
And how important is that?
It's very important.
Interesting. Higher so far down your list.
Okay, wait a minute. I could have easily said Christian first. Hey,
yeah, but you didn't. Look, John. Your identity will be tied to whatever you give your heart to. Doesn't sound like the Lord asked first place.
You're calling me a bad Christian?
Let me be a little direct. Last time you were here, you said you'd pray for me. Did you?
No.
No. For someone who knows the Lord, you're acting like somebody who doesn't, which makes me wonder. What have you allowed to define you? When you lost your team, it didn't just disappoint you, it devastated you. Something or someone will have first place in your heart. But when you find your identity in the one who created you, it'll change your whole perspective.
Who are we? That says it better than I could have. We will not be able to do what we're going to talk about this morning if we don't know who we are in Christ. We need to know that we are, that the Christ is in us, and that he will empower us to do, to live this victorious life. So, when we recognize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus is that Savior, then my world begins to right itself. I become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, the person is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is referring to a new person. When someone gives their life to Christ, it is not a renovated you. It's actually a new you. You're born again. John 3:3 says, Jesus said, you must be born again. So when a person has given their life to Christ, they get free from this death sentence of sin, the gift of heaven, but we're also empowered from on high to live a righteous life in the now. And Romans 6 says we are no longer now slaves to sin. Awesome. Okay, but why do Christians still struggle? Why can I struggle? Why do I feel like I have to fight for doing the right thing? Why do I say the wrong things at times? Why do I still feel? Doesn't the Holy Spirit live inside me? Why? Why do I get frustrated or angry or short-tempered or defeated or discouraged? Why do I keep replaying past mistakes, either my own or other people's? This being an overcomer, this living above all that junk, it must be possible because the Bible says it is. Walking in the Spirit and living in daily victory over the junk that wants to pull us down and trip us up and steal our witness. Much of this living a spiritually healthy life comes down to focus. Our last song was perfect. Kathy, I think you put that together. It was on focusing. I remember one time praying about this. I'm like, Lord, why do we struggle with, and I was praying about something, and I just sensed the Lord said, it's focus. If you stay focused on me, everything else is going to stay in perspective. So he basically was like, if I focus on the things going on around me, and I focus on that long enough, I kind of lose sight of God, and all of a sudden, the bad things that are happening dictate my view of God. So if this isn't good, I start to wonder if God's good. Where if I stay focused on God, even though these things are happening around me and they're hard and they're difficult, keeping focused on God keeps these things in perspective. And then focus is a key. This is what the lesson calls living in alignment. Living in alignment is all about recognizing the battle for your mind and taking the steps to keep living well. How do I live it out? How do I live this abundant life? John 10:10 says, I came that you can have life and have it to the full. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. If you read Galatians 5:16 in the Amplified, it sounds like this. But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, speak him, and be responsive to his guidance. Then you will certainly not carry out the desires of your sinful nature, what they're calling the flesh, which responds impulsively without regard to God. Romans 12:2 says, renew your mind. We'll come back to this. 1 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive, and we'll come back to this. We want this victorious life of peace, joy, and contentment. This life of adventure, partnering with God, and being used by God to benefit other people. This life of fulfillment, watching God at work. We want God to work in us and for us and through us. Life is an adventure when we do that. We live this life, we need to live in alignment. Alignment with Jesus involves an aligned mind. I thought it was interesting, you know, when Susquehanna Valley Pregnancy Services changed their name to Align Ministry. Didn't quite ring for me. I'm like, Align Ministry. And yet, I get their point. They're saying if your mind isn't aligned with Christ, the rest of what they're trying to teach you isn't going to compute. Does that make sense? I mean, we have to have our focus on Jesus. We need to be aligned with God's thinking, and then what they're introducing to you about an unborn, but now this makes sense. So to me, aligned ministry actually does make sense. When you do the definition of alignment, it says putting in a line in agreement with. Jesus aligned his mind with the Father. He kept himself in tune. I can get this to go, Justin, my dear thing. Okay, next slide. Okay. So Philippians 2:8 said that Jesus humbled himself. I read this from a website. It took this verse and it says, Jesus made himself nothing in the world's estimation. He could have played the God card daily. He could have shut down all kinds of difficulty and drama that came into his way, but he only admitted or declared God's status on a handful of occasions. For our sake, he laid down his divinity to possess and fully embrace a human status in order to rescue all of humanity. He said, Jesus, in his very nature, God, but he didn't use his God status for his advantage. But he fully used his human status for our advantage. Staying in alignment. I know, I've written down here, easier said than done. I remember teaching one time, and this lady in the front row looked right, she goes, she mouthed, easier said than done. And I'm like, I know. But as we grow and work in this, as a dear friend said, oh, we don't become sinless, but we do sin less and less as we get ourselves more in line with God. God not only wants to save your soul and cover your sin, but he wants to transform your life. And there's no transformed life without a transformed mind. Romans 12:2 says, maybe the most helpful passage, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Until we think like Jesus, we're not going to act like him. We won't change what we do until we change the way we think. That's why there's all these books, Joyce Meyer's book, Battlefield of the Mind. There's all kinds of books out because they know that a lot of the secret in daily victorious living is the battle in our mind. We need to sync our mind with God. Once in a while, my Fitbit will be like, oh, the steps didn't record on my phone. And I look at that and I just have to do a couple things. I need it to sync. And when I sync my phone and my watch, now they're saying the same thing. That's what we got to do. Got to hit, got to sync my mind with what God would want. We need our minds to sync with God and his desires. Then, when I sync, then we begin to think about what sin and we need to think about sin and holiness the way God does. We begin to view our trials and our tribulations the way he does. We begin to look at our opportunities and challenges with his eyes. And I had written down here, what if we took the next 7 days and prayed each day, God, give me the mind of Christ so that I can do the things that Jesus did and still does. Help me to see things the way you do, Lord. The distracted, like when I think about seeing people the way God does, the distracted waitress. Yeah, she might not be doing her job well, but Lord, what's really going on with her? Why does she struggle? The short-tempered driver, the ill-spirited coworker. It's just like, they just drive me out. They just can't stand it. And like, can I have the eyes of Christ to see what else is going on there? I know Mike tried to do that a lot in school when some kids were just so troubled and just off the wall. And we went to Teen Central, we'd like to look at that. Like, what else is going on there? What are they struggling with? And we can't accomplish this kind of thinking that the Bible challenges to live out without a transformed mind. People are too difficult. Life's too difficult. We need the mind of Christ in order to see beyond the circumstances into the spiritual realm where God's at work. Romans 8:5-6 says, those who live according to the flesh, our sinful nature, have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit will have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, and the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. It's a great verse. So when we gain an understanding of how we're created, we get some insight of how we can actually live this out. So, Justin, next slide. It's me. It's Pi. Oh, never mind. There. Okay, you know what? I'm going to say next slide, Justin, and you can just switch it instead of messing it up every time. So God is triune, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Even from the beginning in Genesis 1:26, it said, let us, capital U, create man in our, capital O, image. Let us create man in our image. God's triune, Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's no surprise that we would be created three parts. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord. Next slide, Justin. So we've got spirit, the part of us that is eternal, that will be live forever. In heaven or hell, there's a part of us that will live forever, and we're calling that our spirit. Our soul is our mind. Cleansing streams use the terminology our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we've kind of hung on to that, and because it's easy to understand and it makes sense, okay? It's how we think, the choices we make, and how we respond. And then that's all housed in our physical body. Next slide, Justin. So when we become born again, our spirit is transformed into a new creature. Now, when we're new, we're in this new creation, our born again us, our spirit inside of us, Satan cannot steal that. I've said this again and again, Satan cannot steal your salvation. So once somebody becomes born again, he will try to trip us up, mess us up, keep us wrapped up so that we are not a good witness, so that we don't become a good witness for anybody else to want to come to know who Jesus is. And that's where the battle lies. Satan wants to render us useless in bringing anyone else to faith. So I've done a lot of research on when God told them how to make the tabernacle or the temple. The temple had the main temple building and then the inner court and the outer court, three parts. The temple itself had multiple parts. It had the porch and then had the holy place and the holy of holies. And in the holy of holies, the Ark of the Covenant had three parts. And it's just fascinating. And God told them exactly how to make it, how to build it, and what to do. The temple itself was lined with gold. When you become born again and give your life to Christ, that part of you is pure gold. But that is housed in the rest of us, our body and our minds. So, next slide. Oh, I think we're there. Are we there? Okay. I want to be on slide 8. Our redeemed spirit in and of itself is right before the Father because we're clothed in Jesus' righteousness, but it is pure gold. But our soul life, our mind, our will, our emotions, that is going through transformation all the time. Our soul changes and it's a process. And our soul does transform, but it's not pure gold. When you look at the temple, only the temple part was pure gold. This was bronze. And bronze is, in the Bible, is a symbol of things that are going to continually be judged. And that's our soul life. Our soul life continually needs a process of being sanctified and being worked on. So we must make the right choices to choose a life. What's interesting is in the temple itself, that's gold. As the priest walked out of the temple into the inner court, that was bronze, there were two freestanding pillars there. God directed them to put these there. They're decorative. When you see drawings of, maybe I should have given you a drawing, but when you see drawings of the temple, they're just there. They don't hold up anything. They're two freestanding pillars, and God said, I want you to name them. The one's going to be Boaz, and the other name the pillar Jacob. And Jacob means through him will be established, or in his counsel. And Boaz means in his strength. So when the priests, once they start to, they hear from God, they eat at the showbread, and the lights, oil lights, illuminate that the same as we feed on God's word and let the Holy Spirit bring revelation to us. However you want to look at it, we're the priesthood. You walk out of there into life, and you've got free will. These freestanding pillars, it's free. You've got choices to make now. But in his counsel and in his strength, we can make good choices. It's there. But it is free will, and we need to make the choices when we step out into our world. The Bible calls, next slide, Justin. The Bible calls this part of us the flesh, the sinful nature. It says, watch and pray so that you're not going to fall in temptation. The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. Yeah, don't we know it? Next slide. Is that slide 11, Justin? Okay, you may go to 11. So, therefore, while we still have good intentions, we even have a strong desire to do what's right, we still sometimes don't follow through. And these are all the slides in the white box I borrowed from one of Mike's slide PowerPoints one time. But I thought these were good. It's just like, yeah, okay, what's becoming new? We become born again, but we still struggle in our mind, in our decisions, in our emotions. Did that become brand new? No, that still needs transformation. Next slide, Justin. Our bodies, do our bodies become brand new when we become born again? No. That part's still going to need a trans. That part doesn't go through the same type of transformation. Next slide. flesh versus spirit. The word spirit, soul, and the word spirit, heart. I'm going to say this little comment here. Spirit, heart, and soul. In the Bible, when you read them, sometimes the English doesn't translate exactly the same. I did a pretty long study on that one time because I wanted to be clear cut. When it says soul, I wanted to say soul. When it says spirit, I wanted to mean spirit or heart meant. And sometimes in our English translation, sometimes when it's talking about heart, it means spirit. And sometimes it's talking about heart, it means soul. Sometimes there's occasionally where it uses a part of soul and it meant spirit. So it's not as clean cut reading it, but the concept is completely clear that we have a part of us that's going to be born again, part of us that's going to live forever, and there's a part of us that's going to still struggle. So do we have any disagreement with that? We can still struggle after we become a Christian. Are you awake? The answer is no. Yes, we will still struggle after we become a Christian, okay? Like Paul said, I don't do the things I want to do, and I do the things I don't want to do. And then later he goes, wretched man that I am, who is going to save me from this? And he says, Jesus can and Jesus will. So, next slide. Colossians 3:1-3 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on the earthly things. You have died, and now your life is hidden with Christ. So there's this struggle, and we all know this. I mean, that's not, nobody's going to question. Yeah, you know, we feel like God's telling us one thing, and then we have these voices talking in our head something else. But we have the power to take these thoughts captive. The victory lies right. It's not as complicated as we make it. If we keep our focus on God, then we can start to know what's the Holy Spirit's voice and what's just other voices talking in our head. And so when we're somewhere and let's just say you're around a group of people and the one person just always irritates you the wrong way and you just get either jealous of them or they just bug you, whatever, and you start to get that, for me, get this like squinty eye like, and now I start thinking thoughts that are not God's thoughts towards that person. This is my thoughts. I can entertain those thoughts, or I can take them captive. Sometimes I want to entertain them because I feel like being whatever towards that person. And yet, I don't have to do that. I don't have to do that. I can take those thoughts captive and say, Lord, I know, I don't want to go there. I heard already, and I believe it's true, you are not responsible for everything that flies in our brain. I mean, sometimes the weirdest thought, I wouldn't even tell people some of the weird thoughts that fly into my brain sometimes. It's just like, but it's what you do with it. We're responsible what we do with the thoughts that come into our mind. So when we talk about focused, and we're going to come back to alignment in this, we're going to circle back to this in just a second. When we talk about alignment and staying focused, another word the Bible uses is called abiding. Staying closely connected to Jesus and including the Holy Spirit and the choices and the decisions we make. Who's in charge? That's what this is trying to show. Who's in charge? Our spirit life or our soul life? Where's my focus? If I focus on my circumstances, things don't make sense. If I stay focused on God, I can have a different perspective. John 15 said, abide in me and your joy will be full. And you will have it abundantly. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And you say, well, a lot of people do a lot of things apart from God. Right. No kidding. A lot of people accomplish a lot of things apart from God. What this is saying is you can't live a God-centered life apart from God. Next slide. So we start to see things from God's perspective, from God's eternal perspective. We begin to want to be led by God, and then we start to experience peace. When we abide, We start to get in line and live in alignment. So Cleansing Stream used the example of a car, and it's stuck with me ever since. I've used it 100 times, and I think it's just a really good illustration. So Cleansing Stream said, let's look at alignment a minute. So when you have your car wheels are in alignment, the ride is smooth. So if you hit a pothole and you just get that one little bit of a shake in your one tire, you can go get it fixed right away. But if you ignore it, it's not going away. And then sometimes you hit something else, and all of a sudden you get a little more. And sometimes I don't really care that much about my car, so I probably let it get like this sometimes. But, you know, we don't want to wait till the whole car feels like it's falling apart till you go get everything aligned. And there's like, that's how we need to live. Something comes my way. Let's say I get a telephone call, and all of a sudden, I feel maybe it's some of you, it's your stomach churns. Some of you, you get a headache. Some, it's like my mind starts racing. Something sets us off, and we get out of alignment. Now, I could go to God right away and say, Lord, I'm feeling this way. Get your mind back right, and you could get that shake taken care of. But a lot of times we ignore it. It's less like it's there. And then the next thing comes along. And then sometimes we wait till we're just like, then we go to God. We don't have to live like that. We can go to God all the time the minute we feel ourselves out of alignment. And we can keep the ride at peace. We can keep the ride smooth. If we pay attention when we hit the first pothole, we can keep the alignment fixed, get it fixed right away, and we don't have to fall apart. Spiritually, the same thing is true. When we get a piece of news, like I said, we get that shake, we can recognize it, go to God, and ask Him for help right away. And like I said earlier, sometimes we just don't feel like it. I know I've been mad about something, and I thought, I know I can go to God and get this straightened right away. I just really feel like stewing on it for a while. And then eventually I'll decide to go. But that's not God's best for us. That's our human sinful nature talking there. That's the other side talking in my head. If we don't take care of things, yeah, things get bumpier and things get worse. And then your gut turns into diarrhea and your headache turns into blurred vision, and all of a sudden you wonder why I'm so out of whack, and it's because you've let things go too long. To get through our problems are just probably not going to go away. We need to go to God. We need to be willing and have the courage and the guts to say what's going on, say what you're thinking, put it out there, and get it dealt with. We don't want to wait till our world feels like it's falling apart. There's a better way to live. So if we abide and stay closely connected with God, we can go to God minute by minute. The first pothole you hit, we can continue. We have an invitation to come to Him all the time. And we do not need to wait. And no, I absolutely do not do this perfectly. But it's what I want to strive for. And that's what I think all your hearts are. It's like, no, we don't do this perfectly, but yes, let's be reminded, it's what we want to strive for. There is victory in abiding, and there is living when we live this Spirit-led life. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and you will find rest. Take my yoke and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I know you've heard this before, but it's good for us to just look at it again. That an oxen yoke, they said they would put an experienced ox with an inexperienced one, and he would learn from him and learn to pull together. And if he bucks against that, it actually makes it harder to pull. But when the two cooperate and work together, it makes the load much, much lighter. Next slide. When we cooperate with God, we learn We lean into his leading. This is a better way. When we abide, we renew our minds. When we abide, we get better at taking every thought captive. We control our thoughts rather than our thoughts controlling us. When we stay connected, our perspective stays the course. And when we stay the course, we're less likely to trip up, mess up, and get derailed. Psalms 23 says, he restores my soul. I remember after we learned soul, spirit, soul, and body, I used to think that he restores my spirit, like I'm born again. I know that. But once I reread that and thought, he restores my soul. Oh, so true. Why do we need a Sabbath rest? Because it restores our soul. When we abide and stay connected to God, we will begin to live above the junk that keeps dragging us down. We will hear the promptings of the Holy Spirit more clearly. We are used by God because we're free to follow in his leadings. We are under God's protection. He knows what's best for us when we'll listen to him. And we are the type of witness that draws others to want to know who Christ is. Truly, it's not that complicated, and we make it harder than it needs to be. Living in alignment in the context of the Christian life means actively aligning your thoughts, actions, and decisions with God's will. Essentially, living a life that reflects the values and the teachings of Jesus by proclaiming God's purpose over your own desires. Seeking to understand and follow the guidance through prayer, scripture reading, and seeking to live according to the Holy Spirit's leading. Next slide. So Mike had used these a long time ago, and I thought they were really good. I mean, basically, if we don't want to cooperate with God, we're shutting off the valve of God's Spirit working through us. We're like, nope, don't want to go there. I want to stay in my thought. I don't want to, you know, just get our focus off God. And then we wonder why the flow stops. Next slide, Justin. But when we allow ourselves to listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to his leading, then the Holy Spirit's power will flow through us. Philippians 2, 1 through 4, if you break it down, it's basically saying living in alignment will affect the way you communicate, the way you respond, the attitude in which you approach people, the love that fills your heart for others, the way you view people's brokenness and need, the desire you have to lift others up, the desire you have to bring peace to others. All of that changes when you're aligned with Jesus. Again, that's Philippians 2, 1 through 4. The message, whoever wrote this style. Next slide. So when we align ourselves with Christ, we will start to begin to do better at loving others. Loving your enemies demonstrates that you're aligned with Jesus. You're better serving others, actively seeking opportunities to use your gifts and talents to serve others, which will reflect God's love in our world. Being aligned will help us forgive others. Forgiving people who have hurt you is the way to express that you are a follower of Christ. Making intentional choices, consciously considering how your decisions align with God's teaching, and making choices that reflect his values. And then a personal repentance and forgiveness, recognizing when you've strayed from God's will, asking for forgiveness, experiencing peace, joy, contentment, purpose, and fulfillment. So let's wrap up by going back to the beginning. Who are you? I read this in an article about alignment, and I thought it was really good, so I'm going to read somebody else's thoughts here, and I thought they were good. Do you know why Jesus didn't need to defend himself or give an answer for every question that he was asked of him? It's because he knew who he was. He was secure. He was confident in God's plan and confident in God's timing for the execution of the plan. Why didn't Jesus create havoc for the people who created havoc for him? It's because he knew who he was all the time. Jesus didn't have to prove something or promote anything except the Father's will. That was the result of a secure identity. And the man went on to say, I don't want to live a random life. I don't want to wander through life. I don't want to just bide my time until it's time to move to heaven. I want to accomplish what God has purposed for me to accomplish. He said on his Facebook page about Intro to Me, he writes, happy to know God and to have discovered why I am here. He said, I mean every word of that statement. It's because I have hitched my life, we're talking about the yoke, I've hitched my life to his because I have yoked up with him that my life has meaning and purpose because I have aligned my life with his life and I have a track to run on. I get up excited for each day. I have something beyond mundane and routine to accomplish each day. I am living a life with adventure because of the purpose that alignment with him has given me. That's good. Last slide. Living in alignment. Let me just read Colossians 2:6. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you first for salvation. We thank you for staying the course, for dying for our sins, for giving us a secure identity in you. Lord, we confess we are sinners in need of a Savior, and we thank you, Jesus, you are our Savior. Thank you then for the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we thank you for coming in each of us. It's there. You're there. You'll speak to us. You'll guide us. You'll help us. You'll help us take those thoughts captive. You'll help us to love our enemies. You'll help us to say the right thing, do the right thing, and have a kind of witness that just makes people just see it, see our light. Thank you for this life of adventure. Thank you, Lord, that when we mess up, we can just keep coming to you and that forgiveness is right there for the asking. Thank you, Lord, that when we hit the bump in the road and we feel out of alignment, we can just go to you right away and get that straightened out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Creator God, for all that you've given us, what you've put inside of us, the talents and gifts you give us, the gift of purpose in every day. Help us to live that out. In Jesus' name, amen.